Yeah, enough of that soppy shit. Oh, no, it was me. I'm the first bleep. Hey, I'm Paul, and welcome to Sibling Rivalry Disorder, a podcast discussing everything from the meaning of life to the Holy Grail, with an eye to finding out if people from the same family, house, school, and town can actually completely agree on anything. How are you, Dibs?
I'm all good. You all right?
Yeah, I'm keeping busy.
Makes a change.
Right, so we're in version 2.0 that nobody else will know about, but this is our third effort at recording a podcast, but it will be the first one released. Because of that, I thought the subject that we would start with today would be, why are you participating in sibling rivalry disorder? But before we do that, do you think we should introduce people to the structure of our show?
We have a structure?
Kind of, yeah. We've come up with a plan, with a way
ish.
We are hoping this is going
to
go.
Yeah, always subject to change, of course, but yeah, for now,
it'll evolve.
Go for it. Yeah, go for it.
A kind of introduction to our plan. So the structure of the podcast is essentially one of us will open and choose a subject from our list of subjects and probably disagree on a large amount of it.
About 98%.
Yeah, it'll be a discussion essentially led by whoever opens. The other one is responding.
And on the back foot, because whoever the other one is doesn't know what the subject is going to be. We're already recording by the time whoever isn't leading knows what we're talking about today.
Yeah, so once we've done the opening and the how are you, if we get any, we'll go through any feedback, pick a topic at the top of the show, discuss it for a while, and then attempt to sum up our thoughts on it. And then if there's time, we'll pick a secondary topic that will be over and done with quicker. Have I missed anything?
And probably a little bit more lighthearted a lot of the time.
Yeah, that would be the aim. We are intending on getting the odd laugh.
Usually at us rather than with us.
Yeah, or at least at one of us.
Yeah.
Do you want to mention the punishments?
I can do, but we should also mention Word of the Week.
Yep.
Which is something we sort of stumbled across completely by accident in the first recording we did, which obviously you will never hear. But yeah, we intend to have a Word of the Week thing. And punishments, we don't actually know what we're going to punish each other for just yet, but it was something that seemed important to both of us. Being able to hand out punishments to your sibling, always good fun. I think we did talk about if one of us uses overused phrases or cliches or uses words in the wrong context.
Yeah.
Just out of habit, because you do pick it up from other people even though you know you shouldn't be using that word at that time.
Yeah.
Maybe whoever does it the most in each show has to take punishment. There are a list of punishments, and I think, didn't we say the way we would do it is whoever is being punished gets two to choose from?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, they get to pick out of the two which punishment they're going to take.
I'm not sure whether we're going to go for something that's going to leave us with weekly punishments, because by the end of the year, one of us is going to end up waxed bald.
Yeah.
We also mentioned,
and it's probably going to be me, because Paul doesn't have a lot of hair anyway.
Cheers. We also mentioned that we may punish people if they require excessive use of the bleep machine.
Yeah, that was Paul's suggestion. I'm not really.
That's because
good
I'm
with that.
Editing it.
Yeah, and the reason I don't like it is because I swear.
So do I.
Excessively, apparently.
Yeah, based on the first recording, you do.
Mm.
Yeah, that will be a fluid thing, the punishments.
Yeah.
We'll probably forget after four or five podcasts of having not been punished for something that they're even there, and then maybe our listener, Hannah, maybe she'll tweet us and point out that one of us was bleeped 8 times in one episode and it will come back. I really hope the first download of this is by a woman called Hannah.
That, it would be super
That would
cool.
amuse me so.
Hi, Hannah.
Hey, how are you doing?
If anybody ever does listen to this and you have any suggestions for why we should be punishing each other, or indeed a suggestion for a punishment itself, do feel free to drop us a line and let us know. We're always open.
We reserve the right to neglect your your idea if it's incredibly painful.
Of course, yeah. Setting each other on fire is probably not what we're looking for.
No, we could just light-hearted. Come up with that ourselves. So, I think that's the structure just about dealt with, isn't it?
Yeah.
If we go on now to why we are participating in this, do you want to come up with a soundbite for why you are participating in this, or would you like me to ask you some questions about it?
Let's go with the questions.
Okay. Well, firstly, do you want to tell everybody the origins of the idea? How sibling rivalry disorder became a thing?
Well, really, that question should be answered by you. It was your idea. It wasn't mine.
It was. No, to be fair, I think it, as a podcast, was your idea.
Yes, it was originally going to be a YouTube channel.
Yeah, a to and fro YouTube channel.
Yeah, although I like this better, I have to admit.
Yeah, I do. Well, I did until I sat and spent hours editing something probably never to be listened to.
No, with regards to the shows that have already been filmed, or at least the first one, there's no reason it can't be put away somewhere and in 6 months or a year, or, you know, 10 years, depending on how long it takes for anyone to actually listen to the show, we could, you know, put it on as like a special.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Listen to how rubbish we were the first time we did this.
Yeah.
Have a good laugh. So you originally pitched the idea to me.
I did.
So the origin really comes from you, so you should probably be the one to tell us about
okay.
it.
Okay. The idea of doing something with you was always going to be fun, and I've...
Careful, you make it sound like you actually like me.
No. Yeah, the idea of working with you was always going to be fun, and the idea for the to and fro YouTube videos came about because I'm working on getting some YouTube videos out. That is a time-consuming process to get began, and I thought, well, working on that would have been something that we could have worked out easier, quicker, less time in a day to get it up and running. And then I can't even remember what it was that changed the idea to a podcast. I remember it was your idea to do it as a podcast.
I remember, if you would like me to interject.
I sent you some podcasts to listen to, didn't I?
Yeah, the... should I name it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the Unmade podcast was what you sent me to listen to.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because there was a couple of ideas on there that I thought would have been funny if it was made. And then that was when you came back with the idea of turning the To and Fro YouTube channel into a live discussion podcast.
Yeah, the reason for that was we don't have the capabilities to make a YouTube channel, simply because sending a video file of a decent size proved to be a massive, massive problem.
Oh, that's right, yeah. And in our list of subjects, you've noticed the same thing with audio files.
Yes, they're a pain in the butt. You would think with all of the capabilities of the internet, you know, but let's not go into that because that's for a later date. But yes, yeah. It was simply a technical issue, and sibling rivalry was in danger of falling by the wayside because we couldn't find a way around it, which was why I then suggested, let's do the podcast, because you still wanted to do a podcast. You weren't 100% sure of the subject or who you were going to do it with, but I said, well, if we were going to do a YouTube channel, why do we not just do a podcast about the same thing? Which I think surprised you, but there it is.
Yeah, it did surprise me. So that's the origin of the idea covered. So why did you want to partake in it?
Well, mostly because I thought it would be quite funny. Or at least I hoped it would be quite funny. There's always the danger that you're going to come across as sounding either arrogant or stupid. You know, if people find that funny, then it's all good. So mostly it was that. And it's something new. I've not done it before. I like learning. Why the hell not? But mostly, I intend to build a social media platform for myself under the guise of writing books soon. And this seemed like a good starting point to familiarise myself with what I'm supposed to be doing on social media. So this is kind of a practice run for me, but it's ended up being much more important to me than I thought it would be after, yeah. You know, doing those first couple that are never going to be heard. That was soul-destroying, thinking that they'll never be heard. But this is all a massive learning curve.
As we're recording this, we realised that the first two wouldn't be heard just this morning.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I received a text from you that basically was the nail in the coffin when I woke up. But I didn't see it the same way. I saw it as an opportunity to change the things that I spotted that we weren't happy with in the first couple of recordings, and thought it was a godsend that we hadn't already gained any sort of following before we got the opportunity to get rid of those things.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I mean, at the time, this morning, when it became apparent that we'd have to more or less start all over again, that was soul-destroying, because I think we've both worked incredibly hard on what we did do before.
Yeah.
But it didn't take me very long to get over it, because this has all been a massive, massive learning curve for the both of us. And
yes.
Neither of us are by any means expert podcasters now, but I think we're in a better position now than we were when we originally started setting all this up just before Christmas. So it's a blessing in disguise.
I'm glad that we had the first two done and one and a half edited, because I learned a lot in that editing process. I've been editing audio for quite a while now, but it's the first time I had to edit a conversation, and that was a learning curve all of its own.
It was big time.
Especially with the excessive use of the bleep machine.
My apologies again.
But so far we're doing well. Yeah, it's alright, we're doing alright this time. I wonder if we can get away with a full recording with none.
Instead of apologising, I very nearly just swore at you.
But, yeah. So,
I might throw one in later. I was about to swear again then. Just to annoy you, let's put it like that.
Yeah, so that's the depressing part out of the way. The reason I wanted to partake in a podcast at all is because last year was when I decided to try and flex the more creative part of my brain, because that is putting me way out of my comfort zone. So essentially I've taught myself to animate and then taught myself 3D modelling.
And now editing.
Yeah, but that was all fun, and I enjoyed doing it, and I still intend for that to be the biggest consumer of my creative time. But I thought, while I was spending a lot of hours, essentially fruitlessly, that this was something that could show fruit earlier. And with it being live conversations, and with it being with you, it's always going to be fun and a nightmare and argumentative.
Kind of runs in the family, that.
Yeah. So there was so many reasons to go for it when you mentioned it as an idea for a podcast. I wanted to do podcasts, as you said before, but I had no idea of the format I was going to use or who was going to do it with me. And then as soon as I got you interested in podcasts, that was ideal recipe. Okay, so the next subject we'll pick is books versus movies even a thing? When I added this to the doc, it was having read the first Hunger Games, and loads of people kept telling me little bits about the movie, and I've never seen the movie.
Thankfully, that's never going to spoil the book.
Yeah, but is books versus movies even a thing is, I think, a sentence that you don't really need too much explaining. So, what are your thoughts? This is basically does one spoil the other?
It depends on the book and the movie, really. There's a few examples of books that have been turned into movies where the movies have been done really well. Obviously, it's never going to be the same as the book. You're never going to have the same amount of content on a movie as you would in the book. But they've covered like the key points and done a pretty good job, really. But then there's other books that have been turned into movies where the movie is essentially a completely different story. It's not even close. They've just stolen the title, really.
There is the other way around as well, though. There's some where you get, where you're watching the opening sequence and the movie could be called Crash, but it'll come up with, based on the book,
yeah.
An evening in summer.
Well, like A Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
Most people don't even realise that is based on a book. And in reality, it isn't based on a novel. It's based on a short story. But the short story isn't called Shawshank Redemption. It's The Shawshank Redemption and Rita Hayworth or something like that. I have read it, but I can't remember off the top of my head what the name is, because I saw the movie first. So I just think of it as Shawshank Redemption, even though that's not what it's called. But yeah, there are examples of that where they haven't bothered using the same title but have stuck pretty closely to the movie.
Yeah.
But they're two different mediums, really. You shouldn't compare the two, but it's incredibly hard not to if you've read the book and you then watch someone completely destroy something you love on camera,
yeah.
Where it's going to be accessible to considerably more people in this day and age. More people watch movies than read books.
Yeah, there's no doubt of that whatsoever.
Mm-mm.
Having said that, if you are going to create a medium like movies, you've got an hour and a half to try and fit a whole lot of detail in.
Yeah.
There's probably never been a movie made that wasn't 3 hours long before an editor got his hands on it.
I would
be completely willing, in all cases, I think, to just hand them the credit for what they've done, because it's impressive to be able to use an hour and a half to portray any amount of a story short of two chapters, or more than two chapters, sorry.
It's just structured differently. And, of course, there's always the thing of, if I was writing a scene where I'm trying to convey the way one character looks at another, that could be two or three sentences, which takes up space on the page. Whereas on a script, that would be, this character looks at that character like this. They don't have to go into a great deal of detail. And then when it comes to actually filming it, that's 3 seconds of film.
Yeah.
So they do have the ability to condense where books don't.
But that is both a blessing and a curse, because you'll always get the people that...
It is, because you can miss the look if you're watching the film.
Some people just won't understand the look. Mm-hmm. So you've got to, through the entire movie, you have to be able to get a message across to people that is in the angle you use the camera, or that can be described in a page and a half of writing. And you've got to somehow get that into the viewer's head.
But that's not that difficult. We've all been raised, our generation particularly, we've been raised watching movies. There's things that you aren't even aware that you know about the way a movie or even a TV program is structured, that you just know. You're not even aware that you know it, but you know something romantic is about to happen, or something scary is about to happen, or if the camera is in this place and they're both standing like that, they're probably about to have a fight. You just know it without ever having to think about it.
Yeah, and the sound, the detail that goes into the sound used is immense. So this is very quickly leading me, at least, to the, is books versus a movie even a thing? No, straight off the bat, that's my position, is I don't think comparing a book and a movie is a thing. I can read a book and enjoy it, and either enjoy the film of the same book or not enjoy the film of the same book, but I wouldn't go so far as to say they've ruined it. Because when I read the book and when the director reads the book, we can see two different things. A book is a more personal experience, whereas when you go to watch The Lord of the Rings...
Well, it's highly subjective, yeah.
You're watching what Peter Jackson sees.
There's certain things that aren't subjective at all, like the colour of somebody's hair, for instance. Most authors, successful ones anyway, would make a point of mentioning the colour of their hair, or the way it fell across their face, or the colour of their eyes, their stature, their build, whatever. They would mention those things so that the reader can get a half-decent idea in their head. And then when you watch a movie, something as small as having cast someone with the wrong hair colour really pissed me off. Because I'm like, how hard would it have been to find a blonde instead of a brunette? Put a wig on
or
that actress if you don't want her.
Yeah.
If you definitely want her, just put a wig on her or dye her hair or something. How hard?
This isn't even just down to movies. It really annoyed me, having fell in love with the Ed Sheeran song Galway Girl. It really annoyed me that the girl in the video was blonde.
Yeah.
I was so expecting her to have piercing blue eyes, pale skin, and really dark jet black hair.
Should have gone with Swedish girl or something.
I was looking forward to seeing her.
Scandinavian
No,
chick.
The song is excellent. It fits perfectly. But I was like, she's blonde. I was so expecting her to be jet black hair.
Or ginger.
Or ginger.
Yeah.
Like Doctor. Oh no, the Doctor isn't.
No, the Doctor again. Isn't. I thought, I was so excited at the thought that finally the Doctor was going to be both ginger and a woman, and how pleased the Doctor would be about that. And then they dyed her hair.
Yeah.
Or maybe, I don't know, maybe it went back to being the original, but when it was announced, I'm sure she had auburn hair. When it was announced that she was going to play the new
character. I saw a publicity photo. I don't think it was a publicity photo from Doctor Who, where she did definitely have a... It wasn't like a ginger, it was a redhead.
Yeah, proper.
But it would have been enough.
It would have pleased the Doctor, but never mind. That was my final thought when I was watching the Christmas special, and the Doctor finally regenerated. I was like, oh no! Where's the ginger hair? Anyway, we've strayed.
We have.
I would have to disagree with your resounding no, simply because a book is much more than paper and ink. It's an emotional investment, as well as being an investment in time. You pour hours into reading a book, and you make the characters your own insofar as you can, given that the author will have indicated certain things.
and you kind of take them into your heart and care about them, or you should, otherwise it's not a very well written book. And then it's, I suppose it's the equivalent to me of somebody I love and know died, and then somebody else made a documentary about them and they got everything completely wrong. That's how it feels. Obviously, if I've never read the book, I'm not going to know. But if they happen to take something that I really enjoyed and make it a crappy film, it does get to me. So for me, books versus film is a thing, even though logically I know you should never compare the two, they're completely different mediums. I just can't help it. They always seem to miss out the bit I was looking forward to most as well.
The funny thing for me, the way you just described it basically just cemented my opinion more. You started off by describing a book as an emotional investment, as something that you're investing your time into. And I don't see the movie being that.
No, it's not. That's why they ruin
it. That, for me, is the difference. But you can't make a movie that is The Lord of the Rings without condensing it down and
It's going to be condensed. You can't fit an 8-hour book in a 2-hour movie. It's as simple as that. But it's the fact that they seem to purposefully go against what was in the book in the first place a lot of the time. About 95% of the time, in my experience, be it something silly like hair colour being completely different, or they'll make the character have a completely opposite character trait to the one that they had in the book because of this new scene that they've written that wasn't even in the book. And that irritates the life out of me. I mean, it does sometimes. It can work as an advantage, because as much as you hate the book I'm about to bring up, I'm sorry, but it has to be done.
No, just don't.
The 50 Shades of Grey book and the 50 Shades of Grey movie are two completely different things. There is, aside from the fact that the main characters are called Christian Grey and Anna Steele, there's like nothing else, I swear to God. 50 Shades of Grey is an entirely different movie. And if it had been a movie in its own right, it probably would have been, you know, not Oscar winning or anything, but it would have been an okay movie. But because it comes from a book, albeit not the best book, but still, it just irritates. Why would you decide, I'm going to make a movie out of that book? You decided you were going to make a movie out of that book because you really enjoyed that book. And then you proceed to take it apart.
Dibs.
What?
I don't understand how anybody ever got to the end of the first chapter of that book.
Yes, I know you don't.
How could anybody make a movie out of a thing that was so fundamentally unreadable that you couldn't make it to the end of the first chapter?
If we're going to be honest here...
Let alone the third book.
All three books made lots and lots of money.
Yes,
any person making movies knows they're going to make lots and lots more out of making a film of the book that made lots and lots of money. That's how.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
It's as simple as that. But if you're going to make a movie of a book, why? Because you love the book. So why then would you change it so much if you loved what was done in the first place? That's what I don't understand.
I think the answer is it's got the same title, so people will turn up and watch it.
Shall I tell you the real reason that it gets on my nerves?
Yeah.
I can't speak for the entire world, I can't even speak for all of Britain or England, but in the social circles we were raised in, hardly anybody read books.
Yeah, I don't think that's just... I don't think you're generalising to the street we were brought up on.
Well, the whole town.
That is...
You know, hardly anyone read books. For leisure.
Yeah, Harry Potter kind of changed that for a generation.
Yeah, but it didn't stick.
Funnily enough.
You know, there's lots of people that I went to school with. Don't read books. I grew up reading Harry Potter, but still, there's plenty of people.
But you've also read the 50 Shades of Grey books.
I read anything I can get my hands on. And the reality is, if you're a writer and you want to be an author, you need to read everything. Because there's nothing more satisfying than picking up a book and reading it from cover to cover and then putting it down and saying, I can do way better than that.
Nothing
more inspiring than doing that. So I've read loads of terrible books, but I've also read some really brilliant ones, and you just have to devour everything you can get your hands on if you're going to be in the game I want to be in. But the point is, hardly anybody reads as it is, and Harry Potter did change things somewhat. So did 50 Shades of Grey. Granted, it's not teaching people the right things, because the editors really didn't do their job very well on that book.
No, I would have to poke them in the eye first.
Yeah, that's their job. But they really didn't do a good job. And it's kind of a little bit soul-destroying to think that all the millions of people that went out and bought that book purely because they wanted to read a bit of filth and everybody was talking about it and they'd never read a book before, or not since they were at school and had to, anyway.
Yeah.
And now they've read this book and they think that's a piece of genius work. And that's sort of so soul-destroying. But at the same time, it made people that had never picked a book up in over a decade go out and buy a book, and then they went out and bought the second one and the third one. So it's kind of six of one and half dozen of the other for what 50 Shades of Grey has done for the industry. But everybody watches movies. I can't think of a single person.
You know what you've done to me, don't you?
What?
Do you know what you've done to me?
What?
You've made me write the words 50 Shades of Grey in the description of this show. The first episode and 50 Shades of Grey, which came out like 5 or 6 years ago or something, is going to be in the show notes.
Why don't you just make the show notes mention the author, E.L. James, rather than the book franchise?
Because it's a description of what we're talking about, and we've spent quite a bit of time now talking about 50 Shades
of Grey. Well, to be fair, I was going to swing right past it, but you just can't let it go when it comes to that book.
It was making me groan.
It's not my fault, it's yours. Anyway, the point is, everybody of my acquaintance watches movies. So if they're never likely to read the book, and all they've got to judge that novel on is a movie, they're not...
You just called it a novel. Huh? You just called it a novel.
It is a novel.
It's not a novel. It's toilet paper.
I'm not talking about 50 Shades of Grey. I'm talking in general.
Oh, I know. Oh, fair enough. Sorry, my mind had melted enough.
A novel simply means it's over 50,000 words and under 100,000 words, if you want to be really technical about it. But...
Yeah, but the words do normally have to make sense and be in order with punctuation and stuff. And my judgment from the first 8 pages before I shut the book is that is not the case. Like, anybody could write 50,000 words.
Anyway, everybody watches movies, hardly anybody reads books, which means the thing they're going to judge the book on, if I try and tell somebody, oh, I've read this fabulous book, and I tell them all about it, and then a movie comes out 3 weeks later, they are going to judge what I've read on what they see on the screen, and it's not the same thing. It's the fact that the fact that people don't read is why books versus movies is a thing for me, because they're never going to know what they've missed out on.
For me, the other people's attempt to judge what you've read isn't relevant. For me, both of these things, even though it's the same set of words in the book, which in most books are in order and well punctuated, or the same hour and a half of footage on a screen, people take things personally. I mean, the amount of people that are arguing about whether Die Hard is a Christmas movie or not.
What?
Who cares? Do you think it's a Christmas movie? Yes, it's a Christmas movie if you think it's a Christmas movie, and no, it's not if you don't. Don't worry about what anybody else thinks about what you think is a Christmas movie.
For someone that's so argumentative, I can't believe you're taking that stance.
Why?
You would argue with anyone about anything.
Yeah, but I would argue about objective things. And there's nothing objective about what's a Christmas movie. If what you have to have in you as a movie to be a Christmas movie is some Christmas music, then Die Hard's definitely a Christmas movie. But I've never found anything that defines exactly what makes a film a Christmas movie.
Well, but for me, it's about Christmas. It's a Christmas movie.
Well, it kind of is. It's a feel-good movie. It's a love story.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean it's about Christmas. There's millions of love stories.
Yeah, but does it have to be about Christmas? Because The Snowman isn't about Christmas. Or Polar Express.
But how is Polar Express not about Christmas?
It's about
a train ride to the North Pole where they meet Santa. How is that not about Christmas?
Yeah. It's not about Christmas, it's about meeting Santa.
And, right, remind me, what does Santa do?
Where he fails
Santa
to exist.
Santa is Christmas, for crying out loud.
Santa isn't Christmas.
He is to children. Giving and it's a children's
and
movie.
Acceptance and goodwill is Christmas. Santa
not
is
when you're 7.
An advert for why you should buy stuff. What relevance does your age have as to what Christmas is or what it should be about?
It's a kids' Christmas movie. If they did a movie about goodwill, Die Hard's an adult Christmas movie. What?
Die Hard's an adult Christmas movie.
No, it isn't.
Of course, it is. It's still about goodwill.
I've proved you wrong, mister. I wouldn't argue about whether Die Hard was a Christmas movie or not. You just did.
I'm not arguing about whether Die Hard's a Christmas movie. No, I'm not. I'm stating that I think it's a Christmas movie. I'm not arguing that Die Hard is a Christmas movie. My argument is... it's completely subjective. I'm not telling you that Polar Express couldn't possibly be seen by you as a Christmas movie, but I have objective things that say it's not. in that there's no mention of Jesus Christ.
Oh my God.
Not that I am chasing Jesus Christ every Christmas, but
can you imagine how different Home Alone would be if it had Jesus in it?
Yeah, well, it doesn't. Well, no, Home Alone 2 does, because he goes and stands in a church, doesn't he, and prays up at the thing.
Are you going to tell me now that Home Alone isn't a Christmas movie?
No, that's my point. As far as I'm concerned, anything slightly Christmas related in a movie, or even just a movie that you only see at Christmas, that counts as a Christmas movie for me, but I don't care whether it counts for you. I'm certainly not going to spend hours of my time arguing with people I don't know on the internet about it.
You may well have to when this goes out and other people listen to it.
No, I won't. I don't have to argue with anybody.
Do email in and tell us.
That's my point.
Is Paul wrong?
My whole point is it's a Christmas movie if you like watching it at Christmas. It doesn't matter whether anybody else thinks it's a Christmas movie, and Christmas movies is not what we're talking about.
No, it's not. We have strayed.
You said people judging what you've written, or what you've read, sorry, on what they've seen being a thing. And that is exactly the thing that I am saying isn't a thing.
Well, we will have to
unless
disagree.
Unless they've read
point,
the same book as you, they don't have... They can't judge you on it, and unless you've seen the movie, you can't judge them.
It's not about judging them. It's about the fact that they're judging the story as something that it's not.
Yeah, because they're not talking about the book, they're talking about a movie.
Yes, but to them, it's one and the same. If they've never read the book, and they're not a reader, they're not likely to know that the book is entirely different from the story.
No, they're not. So they don't, essentially, they don't have the right to judge the book.
Oh my goodness, we're just going round in circles here. We're just going to have to agree to disagree on this point, aren't we?
We are.
Have you ever met the human race?
Yeah, but because the human race are morons, sorry, humans.
As if you're not one.
Some of the human race are morons, that doesn't mean that they're right or that the thing should be counted as a thing.
Of course it doesn't. But the fact
which
that
very
humans
quickly
are
feeds
what
us into
this
something else on the list
means it is a thing.
Yeah, they are. But there's also something else on the internet which is also in our Google Doc, which I think was me again. It is. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
No.
Why did you sound so tentative when you said the word no?
Well, because I took the time to consider the question. Is that not all right?
So what is a sandwich?
Well, it's a filling between two slices of bread.
And a hot dog isn't one of those?
No, because it's not slices of bread.
So what if when you take your first bite into your hot dog, you do that thing where the bread slips around the meat and tears down the side that is the only thin bit that's not been cut? So you've now got two halves of the bread. Does your hot dog suddenly become not a hot dog, or does it suddenly become a sandwich?
No, it's a hot dog that's fallen apart. If my house starts to fall down, it's still a house. It doesn't become a shed just because one of the walls has fallen off. It's still a house.
Or a barn. If Hannah hears this, she's going to be really angry at you.
Why?
If she's in the 50% of the internet that thinks a hot dog is a sandwich.
Okay, let me tell you.
I've never seen people arguing so passionately about whether a hot dog is a sandwich or not.
Well, it is stupid.
About anything other than that. But it's the same thing. It's subjective.
Well, almost everything in life is subjective. If that's going to be your basis for every argument, this is going to be the shortest running podcast ever.
No. From right underneath, what's written underneath is a hot dog a sandwich?
Yeah.
What's written underneath it?
Is pizza posh cheese on toast?
Yeah. My opinion is yes.
Of course it isn't.
Pizza is just cheese on toast with some tomato.
No, it isn't, because it isn't toast. If you'd put cheese on bread, then maybe I would have considered it, but it isn't toast.
You do put cheese on bread.
It's not.
It's dough. It goes through an oven. It becomes bread. That bread has cheese
yes,
and
but
tomato
you have said
melted on
posh
it.
Cheese on toast, not bread.
Yes.
It isn't toast.
It is toast.
Of course it's not.
Have you never had a pizza come out with a lovely golden crust?
Yes, but I haven't come out with a blackened
well,
crust
toast.
And my kitchen got all smoky like it does every time I try to make toast. It doesn't crunch.
So you're basing it not being cheese on toast entirely on your inability to make edible
no,
toast.
No, I'm basing it on the fact that it's two different types of dough. Pizza
so
dough
what,
is not bread.
If you make it out of wholemeal bread, of course it's bread. It's exactly like a loaf of bread.
No, it isn't.
It is.
Shall I tell you why it isn't? I don't like cheese on toast. Pizza is one of my favourite foods. They're two completely different things. It's dead easy, really.
Oh, okay. But you can buy 400 different kinds of bread in the supermarket. Is only one of them toast?
No, but only one of them is pizza dough, and only one of them is called a loaf of bread. Well, no, that's kind of a lie, because you can get, like, bloomers of different varieties and stuff, but you take my point. You wouldn't go into a shop and pick up a loaf of pizza dough.
I wholeheartedly nailed my pizza opinion on the wall. I never told anybody whether I think hot dog is a sandwich, and I will continue to do so. Where else did we get to? What were we talking about? How did we get to this? Yeah, we did the hot dog.
I've even checked on Google to check that my definition of what a sandwich is correct.
Oh, don't worry. People will let you know you're wrong.
Well, they won't, because I will just point them in the direction of this Google definition.
Yeah. Do you think half of the internet hasn't already found something that confirms their definition?
Well, if they have, by all means, send it to me and I will argue it into the ground. We'll have great fun. Go ahead.
So, is books and books versus movies even a thing? A hot dog isn't a sandwich and pizza is cheese on toast. That's what we learned from is books versus movies even a thing?
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
And yes, the first thing Seamless. Is a thing and no, the other two are not. One is a pizza, one is toast, one is a hot dog, one is a sandwich. Mind you, Americans, what Americans consider to be a sandwich is different from what we would consider to be a sandwich.
I was just going to say, because you said between two slices of toast, but if you go into Subway, you get, if you go into Subway, you buy a sandwich. Come to think of it, if you go into McDonald's or Burger King, you buy a sandwich. But at least that's two separate bits of bread.
Although, having said that, they do have a different word for the kind of, I'm using
air quotes here, sandwich
you would get in
Subway, because that is called a sub. That's
the
name of the
shop. It's a sub sandwich. Why am I arguing about hot dogs?
I don't know. You brought it up.
This is something I always refuse to give an answer
on. And yet, here we are.
For exactly the reason I brought it up, because it's completely subjective. If you want to call it a sandwich, call it a sandwich. I don't care.
I don't. It's a hot dog.
No, that's the point. If you don't want to, don't. I'm not going to get irritated either way. But man alive, will the internet get irritated if you go onto the right forum and tell them all that a hot dog's not a sandwich. Oh, for crying out loud, this is one rabbit hole.
You know it's true.
The problem with this argument, and it's a fascinating one, and it's the reason I put it in the Google Docs, is this is an unwinnable argument. There is no way to win this argument. But this is what the internet does to each other, the internet as a community, is somebody will come up with something that is the reason they think this is the way it is. And somebody from some corner will come up with something that disproves or flaws that argument. And comes up with something of his own, and then somebody else will come up with some other reason, and then Hannah will chirp up. And this is what happens when you let people argue about something subjective. Okay, on exactly the same vein as everything else we've been discussing, another thing I think is completely subjective is, can you see my highlighter in the Google Doc?
Yeah.
What does it say?
Is it a GIF or a GIF?
Oh, that's all right then. And does it even matter?
Well,
I'm going to go with, you think it's a GIF because you led with GIF.
I think it's a GIF because our dad told me that one of those little animated pictures that moves around is called a GIF. I never even knew GIF or GIF was a thing until about a year ago, but I've been calling them GIFs since I was about 12. And the reason for that is I speak English, and that's a G, not a J. But...
What's your dad's name?
Geoff.
See, that's funny, because that's not how I've heard that pronounced.
Apparently, the person who invented the things meant them to be called a GIF, not a GIF. So, seeing as he's the inventor, it's his name, so I guess it is a GIF, but I will never stop calling it a GIF. That doesn't mean I'm saying it correctly.
I would say it says GIF, but I have no problem with people calling it a GIF.
No, not if that's what the inventor intended it to be called.
I didn't know that until just now.
That could be complete rubbish. That's just, internet. That might be someone who calls it a GIF trying to end the argument in their favour.
The whole thing just reminds me of Marge Simpson when she said, "Run, Lisa, run like the wind." And Lisa goes, "It's wind." And she says, "Oh, I've only ever seen it."
I do genuinely have a couple of words that I didn't know how to pronounce until I said them wrong, because I'd only read them in books.
Everybody does.
I bet you could name one of them. The word was grimace. Can you perhaps guess how I thought it was said?
Grimace?
Yeah, but I think it was actually grimaced was the word I said, but you know, you get the idea.
Yeah.
That's one of the ones that sticks out in my mind as being a word I never knew how to pronounce because I'd never heard anybody say it. I'd only ever seen it in books. I say another one, though, that I had heard but didn't realise it was the same word as one I'd read somehow, which is kind of embarrassing for somebody who is a writer. But I never used to know that paradigm was the same word I'd read, if you see what I mean. I'd heard the word paradigm, but it just didn't connect that that was the same word as I was reading.
So how were you
reading?
You
don't even want to know. In fairness, I was a child.
Paradigm?
Paradigm, yeah. Paradigm? That's what it says. There's one more that I can think of, but...
He was just thinking in a whole different paradigm.
Paradigm, but... But I was a kid.
Brilliant.
And there was another one that I vaguely remember from being about 7. And I can't remember how I used to think it was said now, because it's been so long that I have known what the word is. And I'm sure it was vigilante, but I can't remember for the life of me how I used to think that word read. It was a video game on the old PlayStation 1 that our friends up the road, which had... a friend for every generation of our family. They had a game. It was vigilante something or something like that. And for years, as a child, I didn't realise how that was said.
We've now got to that time where we pick word of the week.
Hot dog. No, sandwich.
And if it could be anything other than... No, it's got to be paradigm.
Yeah. Mind you, paradigm doesn't, it's not exactly a word that comes up all that often. It's a very specific sort of thing, isn't it?
It can only be used in certain paradigms.
Yes. Remember that thing, everyone listening, remember that thing where I just said I had two big brothers who took the piss out of me relentlessly for anything I ever said or did, and therefore I didn't ask? There's your example right there.
I hate to break this to you, but Hannah's on my side.
Hannah doesn't like you.
Hannah's still laughing at paradigm.
Hannah's still laughing that you argued about a hot dog being a sandwich.
She never heard that bit because I edited it out. I didn't argue a hot dog was a sandwich. I have refused to give any opinion on whether I think a hot dog is a sandwich. I've refused for 2 years. I'm not telling you now.
But you still argue. Even though you seemingly don't have an opinion on the matter, you have to argue.
No, I pointed out that there's an argument for every argument.
But there isn't. A sandwich is a sandwich. And I pointed that out, but you still continue.
We're not going back to the hot dog sandwich thing again. We've decided that it's a gif and a jif. Pizza is definitely cheese on toast.
No, it isn't.
What else have we learnt today? We've learned that books versus movies is only a thing if you make it a thing.
Which could be said of anything, really.
And the long and short of why we're participating in sibling rivalry disorder is it's an awesome idea.
And apparently we like arguing.
No, we don't.
And somehow come out of it not hating each other.
Again, no, we don't. No, I don't hate you. I have no issues with you being wrong on such frequent occasions.
Honestly, arrogant much. Not to mention deluded.
Okay, so we're going to have to wrap it up here. We're reaching time. Do you want to just let Hannah know how she can get in touch with us again, Dibs?
You can tweet us at siblingrivalry8, email us at siblingrivalrydisorder@gmail.com, or Facebook, again, siblingrivalrydisorder, and Instagram, same thing. You know, you get it now, right? Siblingrivalrydisorder, that's all you need to know.
Excellent. Right, we'll bid you adieu and speak to you again in the future. See you later, Dibs.
Take care, bruv.
Bye. Bye. Just wondering how you spell